It's Sunday, January 15th, 2006, and welcome to East Meets West. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Roger Chang.
Move in towards the mic, Roger Chang.
I'm moving in.
And let the people know the secrets of the Consumer Electronics Show. My voice is starting to come back from CES.
Which is quite surprising, because when I saw you, you were almost deathly ill, but not quite there.
Yeah, I was wan and standing in line for Bill Gates tickets, which I didn't even go. I took the ticket back to the stage and gave it to somebody else and went home and went to sleep.
You mean you went back to your hotel room and went to sleep?
Yeah, well, that was my home for a freaking week, so yeah. I actually went back to my room and did what I did almost every night of CES, which is ordered a petite filet from room service, and then Ronaldo brought it up and asked me how the game was going on or whatever was on TV at the time.
Ronaldo?
Yeah. Got to know him. He, you know.
Sounds like the Love Boat, dude.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Ronaldo. Where was you? Oh, you guys were staying at Treasure?
Stardust.
Stardust.
Which is going to be torn down.
Yeah.
It's going to be gone.
Well, you get to put your ass in it one more time. Well, and it's interesting that you bring up...
I stole my room key, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is it a plastic card or is it...
Yeah, it's a plastic card.
Whatever. I got like 8 of those. Like, when I was in Japan, the room key was an actual key. But it was a huge, freaking-ass, large key. Like, maybe 5 inches long.
Wow.
And heavy, so, like...
Harder to lose.
Yeah, and, like, you put it in your pocket and your pants shift down on one side of your leg because they're so heavy.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that's the only time I wanted to keep a key. Not these credit card keys.
But you were going to say something before I started.
Yes, the Bill Gates. He didn't miss much.
No, I watched it. Actually, I read it on Engadget, and then I...
Engadget?
And then I
You work at CNET, and you watched it on Engadget?
Well, they had the transcript, you know, when they're in the auditorium.
For shame.
And, he didn't say anything, do anything. It wasn't all that.
You know, it's kind of funny, when I first saw him come out on stage,
mm-hmm.
he looked exactly like Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons, because he had his hands clasped in that manner, and almost kind of a prayer style with his hands, and he was hunched over like an older state, you know, an older gentleman, and then his hair's all disheveled and his clothes don't fit. Guy makes $1 billion plus a year and he still cannot get a tailored shirt.
And who's Burns' assistant?
Mr. Smithers.
Smithers, is that make Balmer Smithers?
Nah, because Balmer's kind of a loudmouth guy. Yeah. He's more like a Homer, if Homer worked for...
Or the sea captain.
No, more like Homer, because they're both kind of boorish.
Because Homer's bald.
Yeah. No, because Balmer's just really just like, ow, loud.
Yeah.
Really. But yeah, he didn't say anything. The only thing cool I saw, which is very few, at that particular keynote was when he took out his little smartphone pocket PC combo.
Uh-huh.
And he put it on top of the smart table, and the smart table turned into a display
for it. Yeah, that could be cool. But, you know, and he's always doing stuff. Like, last year, the IPTV demonstration was really impressive, but there's nothing like that yet.
No. I mean,
they're really good at demoing stuff, but not
Here's
really
the
good
secret
at rolling.
Behind IPTV. It's just like normal TV, but you get it through a different way.
Well, no, actually, that's not true. Because,
is that?
Well, the IPTV demonstration, anyway, at the keynote last year, showed how you could actually have integrated stuff from the web in your viewing experience over your television. So one of the things was baseball games. They could actually give you like box scores and video of other games scrolling along the bottom. And, you know, there was a lot more features because they can pack more data in there. But what's happened is people throw around IPTV now to just mean video over the web instead of anything special.
Case in point, and the follow-up keynotes with, what the hell is his name? Oleander, the guy from Intel?
Oh, Odolini.
Odolini, Oleander.
Paul Odolini.
I like Oleander better.
It smells better.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how Paul Odolini smells. I shouldn't say that.
But him and his Vive, along with Morgan Freeman and the other guest celebrities,
mm-hmm.
like Tom, not well, this Tom, but Tom Hanks.
Microsoft only had Justin Timberlake, too. They
that's
were down
lame.
On the celebrity scale, too.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman. Now, that's cool.
But see, their kind of IPTV vision is that it's just a new avenue for traditional over traditional video content outlets. So essentially, Morgan Freeman is doing this version. Think of it as Bravo,
uh-huh.
where you can get a lot of independent filmmakers and stuff shown. but you would get it via the web. So using one of Intel's Vive boxes, which is basically a living room PC or a PC in the living room form factor, you could sit there and watch it. You get all sorts of nice content. And the thing is, like, you know, in the way you kind of described IPTV, they were kind of reaching at, but it wouldn't be so much the same content as it would be. You would have the video stream in one window, mm-hmm. and then you could pull up a window at the website, and then you could, you know, you could have basically what you do with a right. PC, multiple windows open.
And I think that's lame. I think that's not thinking very strategically, because I think what will be cooler is if your just regular video has a bunch of options on it that you could, you know, I mean, if you've ever used those game day things in sports, like for baseball, where they have the field and what the pitch count is, you could have the video in that box with all of that extra information, and then the user could actually choose what information to display.
Yeah, I mean, what would be really cool if they just did pop-ups, like, you know, a pop-up video.
Uh-huh.
But you could have it for selected items, like, you know, when you have a thing in the game, you could highlight, like artificially highlight the player that you want to keep stats on.
Oh, and camera angle, choosing your camera angle.
That actually would be a plus. The thing is, when you make that request, how much of a lag there would be.
Well, the demonstration I saw, you actually had, and this is what's so funny about CES this year, is we're actually talking more about the CES last year than this year, but the demo of IPTV that I saw, they would have all four camera angles in like thumbnail windows,
uh-huh.
and then you could just click on them and it would swap them out. So the data was already coming in, and it would, on the client side, it would swap out the focus.
See, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting because you mentioned the web and the internet.
Oleander.
Oleander did a little demo with using one of the Vive boxes and had his flunkies, you know, kind of do the demo for him.
Uh-huh.
And surprise, surprise, what happens?
It didn't work.
Network failure.
Yeah.
So they cannot demo it.
Well, you know what? That's one of the things that's holding back progress on a lot of fronts is the pervasiveness of high-speed quality network.
I mean...
Even cell phone networks, high-speed cell phone networks are not 100%.
No, you really need a quality of service. You need a minimum guaranteed throughput all the time.
Yeah.
Not just 99% of the time, but literally 100% of the time.
It's got to be like electricity, where everybody's got it, it's just not an issue, and it's good enough to run everything.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's... Right now, it's just not there, I think. And it's kind of interesting because DSL, in its original conception, was actually designed as video distribution.
Uh-huh.
It was not at the time, was not thought of the internet, because
right.
the internet wasn't big.
It wasn't big yet.
And people thought, well, you could be at your home and you could choose and select movies from the list that the cable provider would... what is your dog doing?
I don't know.
Holy crap, she's typing out a blog.
Yeah, my dog has a blog. It's she's on Dogster.
Dogster.
Yeah.
You know, I hate those sites. Not Dogster, but I was using MySpace.
Uh-huh.
And other than short of, like, you know, getting an escort service through there,
mm-hmm.
I haven't found any use besides music.
Well, that's a use.
Yeah, it's true.
I have a MySpace profile, but there's nothing in it.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I can't.
But you were saying that DSL was originally a way to get movies or whatever. Just like the internet was originally to order groceries.
Yeah, you know, PCs, one of the...
At least CompuServe was. That was always their big thing. You can order your groceries on CompuServe.
I remember Genie would let you play head-to-head against someone else using a really bad-looking Genie flight sim game.
Oh, yeah?
Or talk to other people on their bulletin board.
Wait, you'd play a flight sim game?
Like, oh, Genie, you could...
But flight sim, you're just flying around. Will you shoot at them?
Like a combat game.
Oh, okay.
All right, the flight sim game where you have guns.
Yeah, that's called a shooting game. War. Evil.
Whatever, dude. War's good for a lot of things. People just don't...
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
According to the song. And the song...
Good God, y'all.
Eh. But it's interesting because the day after that, Yahoo... also did a web-based demo that also failed.
Uh-huh. Oh, all the demos fail except Steve Jobs.
No.
And even he fails every once in a while, but he has the best track record, I think.
I think it's because he made a pact with the devil.
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely did. I don't know if that's why his keynotes are so successful, but he did make a pact with the devil.
Sure.
And that devil is Steve Wozniak. No, I don't know. Steve's a good guy. Shouldn't say that.
Yeah, plump, but good guy. You know, actually, Steve...
You call him as you see him, don't you, Roger?
Yeah, Woz, if you hear this ever, you know, exercise wouldn't kill you.
Yeah, you're not a doctor, but you play one on our podcast, I take it.
Yeah, like you said, I call him like I see him.
That's good, though.
Love you, Woz, though, even though I've never owned an Apple II.
Good to be honest. I actually, Apple II was my very first programming experience. That's where I learned to program, on an Apple II. I think it was an Apple II SE, actually.
I had an IBM. I actually had a Tandy one. My first computer was a Tandy 2000. It was a piece of junk. And I got a Tandy 1000. And that was
at a week-long computer programming course at Kaskaskia College.
Nerd.
One side of the room was TRS-80. The other side was Apple. And well, that was the beginning of the Apple versus
Trash
other
80.
Platform war. And I chose the
Did
Apple
Did you see
side.
Any hot women in there?
There was, well, I don't know.
Not the
smart.
Teachers. Teachers not included.
TAs. Yeah, the TAs were probably like 14, but I was younger, so I thought they were really adult.
Yeah, I mean, if they're hot, they're hot. It doesn't matter, dude.
I only remember the guy who could program Pac-Man.
Did he?
On the Apple II. It was one of the TAs, one of the teacher people. He had made Pac-Man on the Apple II. I was very impressed.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So we ground to a halt in 1979.
Yeah, I was born in that.
Because really, there aren't any more innovations since then. There was a network problem then. There's a
Actually,
network problem now.
There's one thing I liked about the Intel keynote. He brought out a concept PC called the Slate. And if you imagine an Apple Newton as a fully functioning PC, like the OQO,
okay,
but
yeah.
in a much nicer form factor and not so ugly.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And I was like, hey... If I could buy one of those and not have to get a laptop, like, it would be awesome because it would be my PDA, my laptop, and everything in this really nice kind of form factor.
You know, the form factor isn't as good as that, but the dual-core CPC, have you seen that? It's a brick, and it's a palm top, but it has a really nice screen. It actually kind of looks like a thick Sony PSP, and it dual boots Windows XP and Windows Mobile. And you can hot swap between the two OSs.
So you're saying the screen is the size of a PSP or bigger?
Yeah, it's about the size of a PSP. Actually, it's bigger.
Like for me, the reason why I liked that Slate so much was there was enough usable screen area.
This had a good amount of usable screen area, and I mean it was about that big. And
Tom is gesticulating a little square on the keyboard.
Yeah, about a quarter of an IBM ThinkPad keyboard, 14-15 inch, but. The cool thing was you could hook it up to a monitor, keyboard,
stuff,
and it dual booted XP and Windows Mobile at the same time. And you could swap between them and still have access to all your data. So the idea being you could work on Windows XP at your desk, blah, 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 blah. Then you take the dual core with you, you go to the airport, and to save on battery life, you use Windows Mobile. And then you can still access all your spreadsheets and everything, still on there, it's still on the hard drive, and you can use a stylus and everything for it. Actually, you know what? It wasn't XP, it was actually Windows Tablet Edition.
Which is basically...
But same thing. And $1,500 bucks.
So it was using the Intel... it was using Core Duo, right?
Yeah.
And now Core Duo, for people who don't know, is Intel's... originally it was codenamed... I keep calling it Yoda... But it's not. It's called the...
Yona?
Yona?
Yeah.
Yona, whatever.
So hey, certain are you.
Anyways, it's one of the first mobile CPU being one that is geared for multitude of power options, so you can step down depending on what you're using and use less battery.
Well, and then what they were doing is they were booting tablet on one of the processors and mobile on the other.
And Core Duo has the Intel technology...
Yeah.
Known as Vanderpool, which allows you to do hardware-based switching between multiple operating systems. And the beauty for that is that now you don't have to power down, like you were saying, an operating system.
Yeah.
You could just literally swap it out without having any issues in the runtime.
Oh, you know what I just thought of? Okay, so the MacBook, right? The new...
The MacBook?
Yeah.
MacBook Pro.
The MacBook Pro... So it has a dual core, right?
Yeah.
So
I see. That's what people
have
been
hitting. People
have been hitting at that.
It's going to be a Windows XP on one processor and OS X on another?
Or no, you could do that. Ideally, what you would do with Vanderpool is you just swap them out.
Yeah.
But this is the kicker. Some people say, well, screw that. Why don't I just run virtual PC?
Uh-huh.
And like VMware, since virtual PC don't really have to emulate too much of the PC other than the OS.
Right.
You could literally slave that to another core.
Yeah.
You could run both simultaneously.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Using virtual PC.
Yeah.
That way. That probably is more efficient. I don't know if you'd have any limitations there.
Mac people don't like sharing that much space.
No. They don't like to share at all. That's why they like their enclosed systems.
Of course, you bring up the Mac, and we were also at Macworld last week. I was there because I was unemployed and needed to just kill a few hours.
Did you get a press badge, though?
No. I got an exhibition badge.
An exhibitionist badge?
Yeah, but it was free.
Yeah. Oh, okay, as long as it was free.
Because I'm a cheap bastard.
Yeah. Did you go to the keynote?
I watched the keynote online.
Okay. I actually was at the keynote, which...
It looked kind of disturbing.
It wasn't any better.
The whole bunny suit and... That was kind of weird S&M stuff.
Well, it's just a clean room suit, Roger. You don't need to be threatened by it.
No, just the whole way that he gets on his knees and...
He didn't get on his knees. Ottolini didn't get on his knees.
Didn't he?
No.
I thought he did.
No, he didn't. He never got on his knees.
Maybe it's just the way they shot
it. He just walked out in a puff of smoke and then handed Steve the copper plating or whatever that is.
I thought maybe he got on his knee or something.
No. You're reading a whole thing into this that never happened. You really have a problem with Ottolini. You can't say his name.
Whatever.
And you're imagining him getting on his knees to Steve Jobs.
When Oleander gave this guy... what do you call it? You know what? He doesn't care. He doesn't
Mad Dog him. Steve Jobs.
But you were in Macworld, and it was kind of interesting that other than those, the new PowerBook, or I mean the MacBook Pro. MacBook Pro.
Oh, hold on a sec. Okay, so you were saying there wasn't much there?
In terms of like really new stuff, there was the dark room. What's the was like a photo a photographer?
Aperture.
It was Aperture, and there's one other one that was out there, but it was essentially a photo app for photographers, basically Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
Geared for photographers with a lot of the stuff that they wouldn't use. Called out.
Yeah, it was the same for CES and for Macworld both. It just didn't seem like there was anything that revolutionary. I mean, the dual core stuff's interesting, but it's not totally revolutionary. There was the quad SLI from NVIDIA. But again, that's just GeForce cards strung together and bigger and better resolution HDTVs. And
I think really what we saw was kind of a refinement of existing technologies into more consumer, wallet friendly.
Which is always true at CES. There's usually nothing truly revolutionary. It's always generous. But there's always one thing. Like last year, I remember it was the Slingbox, where you're like, wow, this is new. This is a new idea. And I didn't see anything like that this year.
I mean, what you did see, though, was a lot of kind of convergence items. Whether it was like a device that like not only a GPS,
mm-hmm.
but dictionary, translator, MP3 player, a multitude of different devices, kind of Swiss Army knife together.
Yeah.
And you also saw that on the kind of home electronics side, where you saw you mentioned the Slingbox, but there were also like TiVos with additional extended functionality.
Right.
And there were Blu-ray. No.
Well, that whole mess is going to be a failure, I think.
You think?
I have a feeling that they're going to fight each other so long that people are just going to turn to network-attached storage, that home networks are going to become pervasive enough and services are going to become pervasive enough with cable companies issuing TiVo-like devices that can download things on demand, that you're going to get high def from your cable company and be able to keep it and burn it to a DVD. Scientific Atlanta has a set-top box for cable companies that has a DVD burner in it. So, people are just going to be like, screw it. Why do I need to bother with
really the...
For recording, but I don't see.
I could see it as distribution. If it were a compilation, it was essentially you had a collection of different items from various sources. It would probably be more trouble than it was worth to do it on your own, so to speak.
True, true. I just don't think people are going to be so... I mean, if there was one format coming, I would think totally differently. But because it's two formats going head-to-head, and it doesn't look like one of them is going to win quickly, although some people think Blu-ray is, but I don't...
I honestly believe that HD DVD will probably be adopted. I know a lot of studios, Sony, Apple's behind Blu-ray, but the problem with Blu-ray is that... Unlike HDVD, which can be pretty much stamped on existing tooling without having to invest in new equipment, you can't say the same for Blu-ray.
Well, and that was why VHS won. In the beginning, you know, everybody compares it to VHS and Betamax. Betamax was the superior quality and had a lot of backing, but VHS was easy to implement, and it was cheap, and that's what HDDVD has going for it.
And one of the announcements at the Microsoft keynote was they're going to make available... later on in the year, an HD DVD player for the Xbox 360.
Yeah, and you know what? I think another thing to consider here is that people don't talk about this enough, but Blu-ray, what the hell is that? HD DVD.
You understand.
I know what that is. So if I'm going to pick
one... And it's misleading because both actually use a blue laser.
Yeah, when they're both high-def DVDs, too. I mean, the name could be applied to either one of them.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up, but my money's on HD DVD.
Really? Okay.
And, you know, some people might disagree. Well, you know, Sony's coming up with the PS3 and is it the Blu-ray.
It's the analysts all believe Blu-ray is going to win, but so that's almost a reason enough to think HD DVD will win.
I don't know. I don't trust analysts because I've listened to most of those analysts, and honestly, if it weren't for the fact that they actually use the correct terms, I would think they were idiots.
How do you become an analyst?
Really, what you need to do is at a lot of keynotes or read a lot of press clippings, and then generate a paragraph and then send out to news media outlets. This is what's going to happen.
So I can be an analyst.
Oh, of course.
Totally. I'll just start being an analyst now.
Yeah.
As soon as we get done with this.
Really, what you need is a company name behind you to make it look legitimate.
ExecuCore.
Perfect.
Logistics with an X. Logistics Analytics.
Logics.
Yeah, Logics Analytics with an X at the end of both.
I'm telling you, that's our new business. Screw work.
Forget it.
We'll be analysts.
One paragraph a month. Well, then how do they make their money? They charge companies for in-depth analysis or something?
Yeah, basically what you do is you subscribe to their hot air that comes out in a large, thick, not terribly thick, but almost like a journal, like a medical journal size. Uh-huh. And then, you know, you could get an edge on your competitors by, you know, finding the early trends before they do.
Oh, okay. So I just need to wear a suit.
Yeah, and then a lot of analysts also work for large multinational conglomerates, too. But they give it a fancy name so people don't think it's so incestuous.
Ah, so they have backing. They have a lot of financial backing.
Okay. And, you know, and you'll notice that a lot of companies use different analysts to prove their point.
Yes.
Like, well, this analyst says that we're going to do well this quarter. It's like, hey, that's funny. Their checks are all signed by you.
Funny. I wonder why they're saying that.
So I could really give a rat's ass to most of them. Remember when they, it's so funny, because I remember what they were saying about the internet. What were they trying to say? Like broadband, like penetration in the U.S.
It passed 50% like just a couple months ago.
But remember how like it was like in 98 or 99, like, yeah, everyone's getting broadband, it's gonna be like wildfire. It'll be so fast you'll see the burn marks.
Yeah, well, but you know what, it's implementation has been crappy.
Yeah,
with cable company monopolies and with phone company monopolies being the only ways to get it. That's, I mean, dial-up could be provided by anybody.
Yeah, totally.
Well, DSL can actually be provided by anybody, but the pipes are all owned by one person.
It's true, and actually they actually own the backbone connection, too.
Yeah,
so which, essentially what they do is whoever, like Earthling or something, rents it.
This is why we're going to break the internet, because the greedy companies that own the backbones are going to start trying to meter access, and that's going to slow broadband adoption even more. When the entire internet isn't the same speed, only people who pay more for it. My dog, not nearly as enamored with broadband adoption as we are, is chewing on medical tape, but she'll be fine.
It's good. At least I'll kind of close up any of the internal wounds.
So,
you know, analysts suck, basically.
That's where we were. Analysts suck.
But maybe I should become one, because I think they get paid pretty well, because they always wear those somewhat fancy but not really expensive Armani suits.
Well, no, because they can't wear the really expensive ones. They can't wear the really expensive suits because that would make them look like they're, you know, wasting money, right? Like, so they have to wear the just one level down so it looks like, you know, well, I'm making enough money because I'm a good analyst, but I don't waste money on extravagant suits.
Analysts and analysts. it's just like those pundits on TV.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what they are, right? They're pundits. They're pundits of the technology.
Or what I like is the experts. World. Like, last time I saw one, like, I guess it's during the beginnings of the Iraq War, of this, in 2003. And they basically had military expert as this guy's kind of title. And I was like thinking, well, you know, I guess you could apply that to any numbnut that walks into your studio.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I think these guys don't try hard enough to pull reliable or at least legitimate sources.
A lot of times they're actually, those guys are actually ex-military. So, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately some of those are, many of those also actually tend to be desk jockeys.
How many analysts are actually ex-technology executives?
I don't think any, because really what you need to do is read the press releases and spot the trends.
Well, that's where, what is their training? Do they have MBAs? Is that, you know, is there a little analyst school somewhere? Vocational school for analysts?
I bet you there's an analyst boys club, though.
Oh, there's an old boys club, that's for sure.
All right. So
you're not allowed in.
Yeah, whatever. It's all right. I understand.
So it's time to sum up. CES, nothing good. IPTV, still to fulfill on its promise. Analysts, nice suits, but why are they qualified? What else are we? Broadband adoption. Yeah,
but broadband adoption and Macworld.
Macworld.
Love the new MacBooks.
The MacBook Pro.
They haven't lowered their price.
No. Well, you know what? What they tried to do was they tried to say, hey, we've added all these features, and it's the same great price as the old ones.
They'll never lower
But they didn't lower the price of the old ones
either. They will never lower the prices.
No. That's not Apple's not a bargain business.
No, they are. They're kind of like
Bang & Olufsen.
Yeah. Nice, flashy stuff.
Yeah.
At a nice, flashy price.
That works well. You know.
When it works, yeah. I mean, I have two Macs at home, and for the most part, they operate okay. I am kind of a bit relieved that I don't have to deal with a lot of the security holes that Windows presents, or some of the hassles that you have to get around with Linux.
What's the hassles with Linux? Just
getting
driver support.
Not just driver support.
Driver support isn't even such a big deal anymore.
It's really more of like, hey, I want to do this. Oh, I guess I need to figure out how to get it running in Linux.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know what? I mean, there's a ton of software for Linux, but not absolutely everything you want. OpenOffice kind of bloated, I have to say.
It's bloated and it's not very clean.
Yeah.
I like GIMP, but you know, GIMP isn't very cohesive either.
GIMP actually works a whole lot better than it used to, though. I use it regularly now, and in the past I tried to use it, it was painful. And now the 2.0 version, I think it's made great strides. So I'm hopeful that that'll actually become a very, very valid replacement.
Yeah, until then I'm still clicking away in Photoshop and Premiere Pro.
Oh, I don't have Photoshop. I just use GIMP. I'm a GIMP guy.
Yeah, you're pretty gimpy.
Yeah. And then I use GAME for my instant messaging. I use Firefox.
I do use GAME for instant messaging. I do use Firefox. What else do I use? But, you know, those are actually all on Mac.
I use
Audacity on the Mac. Unfortunately, for a while there, Audacity didn't support some of the Macintosh's somewhat unique audio traits.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, but hopefully they can have that fixed.
All right, well, fabulous East Meets West number 5. I think it's coming together.
All right, okay, now, if you're the first person to ever hear this, please email us.
What's the email address?
I have no idea.
Do you have an email address you want them to use?
Sure, just use Drew's Roger, call for help at Yahoo. See, I have one of those special Yahoo accounts that they only give to special people. At rogercallforhelp@yahoo.com.
Roger call for help?
Yes.
It's all one word?
Yes.
And it's a special account because you ride the short bus, or it's special because of something else?
No, there's nothing special about it.
Okay.
Why don't you just destroy the mystique, Merritt?
That's what I'm here for. Poking holes.
Making fun of magicians, exposing how everything's done.
Yes, the Magicians Alliance hates me. Arrested Development fans, look at that.
All right. If anyone has any job openings, let me know. I need work.
Email him. Bye.